O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. If you ever stood around a seagull nesting ground during the mating season, just as the hatchlings broke through their shells and observed bird behavior, it would seem almost impossible that parents returning from their food scavenging trips can find their nest and recognize the tones or voices of their crying chicks without any mistake amid the endless ocean of chirping and calls. It would seem almost a miracle. But is it really? Most likely to birds, all human voices would seem the same. But mom and dad would recognize the voice of their child in any noise. I distinctly remember how in one instance, when we were in a large shopping mall, I turned around and saw that Adam was gone from my sight. The next moment, all I could hear in my head was Helena's voice before she stepped away from the two of us, saying, "Watch him." Then I could sense a feeling of dread and terror rising within me. In the next moment, all around the noise of the shopping mall, I heard a distinct, "Oh no, Daddy Siba," which in Adam's speech means, "Where is Daddy?" I turned around the aisle corner and saw that he was wandering around the endless selection of toys. Everything was fine. But as to animals, to those of us who spend very little time with animals or birds, it would be surprising with what precision they can recognize their relatives or flock members and their human caregivers or shepherds. In many places of the old country where traditions of shepherding have persevered, it could still be observed how the shepherd enters the area where a large flock is grazing, and as the sheep shepherd calls his sheep by name, sheep will know they're human and will go for her. A shepherd will spend a whole day amongst his flock and will know the natures and individualities of his sheep. A shepherd will know their appearances, their colorings, their likes and dislikes, their fears. And the sheep, of course, too, they will observe their shepherd and start to recognize his voice. If instead of the shepherd, a stranger would enter their grazing grounds, the sheep will not respond to the stranger's voice, even if the stranger would call them by their names. The sheep will only respond to the voice they know, the voice they trust. The sheep will follow their favorite shepherd or beloved shepherd, even without the help of a shepherd dog. Such a shepherd has no need to walk behind the flock to drive them. Instead, such favorite shepherd will walk in front of the flock and they will follow him. Jesus knew the life with animals. He grew up in a small town. The image of a shepherd and the sheep was very familiar to him. But the last moment just before preaching today, I suddenly realized that it may not be to us. I did not spend a lot, like I have encountered sheep in my life, but I have not spent that much time around them, and I'm not sure if any of you have. So just before starting to preach today, I suddenly remembered the story that my grandfather told me. So my grandfather grew up in a small village. The times might be telling for what I'm about to say. So he was born in 36, so he grew up through the occupation of the Red Army in 39, and then the occupation of the Nazi Germany in 41, and then the occupation of the Red Army again in 44 or 43. So he knew war. But that aside, through his childhood, there was a flock. Walking home from school, you had to watch for that flock of sheep, because within that flock, there was a ram. Now, when we think sheep, we generally think about, you know, fuzzy, curly animals. But rams, so there was this ram, a black ram. foul temper. I'm not sure what his owner called him, but within the village, his name was very telling. He was called Hitler. You did not want to encounter that black ram on the way from school or get too close to the flock. So sheep are not all docile. So in the first paragraph of our scripture today, Jesus tells us a parable. A parable seems on one hand simple, and yet it is complicated. The listeners do not understand it at first, so Jesus elaborates on the parable in the second paragraph. But looking at the scripture verses that precede our reading today and verses that follow it, we can get a better picture of the conversation that surrounds this parable. Is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus from God? To answer those questions, Jesus proposes the parable we find today. In essence of this teaching is that a biblical understanding of the image of the sheep as the people and the shepherd as their leader or their king, the king and his people Israel. If you think for a moment of our current leaders, corporate, government, royal, it can be hardly imagined that these leaders would interact with everyday people or workers while behind their office desk dictating memos or facilitating corporate meetings. Most likely a leader, as just described, a CEO of a large company, for example, would not have any or very little interaction with his or her people, workers, and would rarely know them by their names. And while this description would be of the modern leaders, were things really that different? While the technology was not there, it seems that even in the times of Jesus, more than 2,000 years away now, we can find plenty examples of leaders hiding behind high walls, heavy ornate doors, and multitude of guards. Leaders who would be just as detached from their communities and their people as many leaders today. But in Scripture, an ideal king or a leader is a shepherd. In fact, one of the more stark examples of this is in the old, we can find in the Old Testament, and it would be in the example of David. A young shepherd who is made king as he found favor with God, as described in Ezekiel 34. And it is with this image that Jesus draws a contrast between his modeled kingship of Israel and that of his contemporary leadership. With this reading, it is easy to rush ahead to verse 11 where Jesus proclaims, "I am the good shepherd," and proclaim that this parable is about Jesus proclaiming himself to be a good shepherd, the King of Israel and the Messiah. And surely it is, but if we stop to look closely to our reading today, Jesus does not do so within the first five verses of today's gospel. He actually draws an example of a good shepherd and only briefly mentions that bandits and thieves would climb in another way. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. In this passage, Jesus draws my attention to the fact that in order to be a leader or to be a shepherd, one only has to walk in the presence of God. God, as I understand it, is the gatekeeper. And he will open the gate for the shepherd to walk through, as God intends it. God will equip those who call, those he calls, with all they need for the task he sets them onto. The people of God will know the true shepherd by his voice. His message alone will be sufficient. It will resonate, and we will follow. As to the stranger, the sheep will simply run away from the stranger's voice. That is, of course, unless they meet the black ram. And since this parable is confusing and misunderstood by the listeners, Jesus explains this by making it even more confusing. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. There is actually some thoughts, and for that, to understand that, it would be helpful to know the life that shepherds used to live. Some would say that the shepherd was actually a living gate. In the traditions of sheep herding, A shepherd would often lay down at the gate to prevent sheep from leaving and from a stranger to simply walk through the gate. Essentially, he was becoming a living gate to the detriment of his own interests for the benefit of the flock. And this is, I think, what Jesus actually tries to tell us. It is all about the flock and the full and abundant life through Jesus. It is now that Jesus draws contrast between, only now that Jesus draws contrast between contemporary and modern leadership and himself and his model of leadership. Jesus warns his listeners how to avoid those who would be thieves and bandits that would pretend to be walking in the way of God. I would say it is to pay attention to the message. Do they goad, threaten, coerce, seduce, or frighten? Because no plotting, coercing, conspiring, and especially violent force is required to do God's will. Those who use these methods would only kill and destroy. And I find that such leadership methods would be contrary to the will of God and would only serve selfish ambitions. And just one example that Jesus really isn't just talking about leaders of his time, but also about the leaders we would find in our time. Consider this little anecdote. I actually always found that amusing. Ladies and gentlemen, we stand here to make difficult decisions in these turbulent times. And rest assured that any decision we make today has full support and backing of our people. And when the time comes that we should face adversity and war, we will be 100% behind our people. This example is in stark contrast to the example of a shepherd, a true leader that walks with God and will be comfortable walking in front of the community to be followed. In this sense, I feel Jesus is telling us today that he has modeled for us not only the behavior of the one in communion with God, but in fact, the very being in communion with God. As we reflect on the scripture today and its relevance for us today, and how we are called to live out the example of Jesus showed us, consider this. At least as I looked, I couldn't find a single example of a leader to whom God called to take on the leadership ministry who wanted to do so. In those who truly wish to respond to God's call, there is no self-seeking ambition to lead. There is only desire to walk in the presence of God. And as we take a moment to reflect on what God calls us to do and how we are to walk in the presence of God, let us pray. Destroy, O Lord, the spirit of self-seeking in us as individuals, and in our nations. Give to the peoples and their leaders a vision of peace and reconciliation. For you, O Lord, can find a way where human beings do not know what to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.